The
I'm going to tell
lines.
you a little secret about myself. I much rather smell a stranger's fart than a stranger's bad breath.
See, that's, I think that says a lot.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, farts happen, but
everybody
like,
farts.
Bad breath is preventable.
Yeah.
NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com, where we talk about all things nerdy and pop culture. This is Mylan. I'm in for Matt this week, and I just wanted to say hey.
Hello.
Hey.
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 Hey. Well,
you can actually stay for the whole podcast.
Yeah,
you
don't have to just do the introduction and then leave.
Yeah.
You're welcome to stay.
Yes.
Can I please stay?
See, guys, I told you were begging to stay. And it's true, she begs.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's exactly.
What?
To stay on the... God, you guys are terrible.
We've already taken a turn.
I already feel like this is going really bad.
Oh, man. But anyway...
We want to start how... again.
Nope. Yeah, nope.
No.
There's no turning back.
All right, no turning back. So, obviously, Mylan is in for Matt this week. Matt is still suffering from a horrible case of colitis. I don't... The poor guy is just, you know... Just leakage all over the place. Is that what happens with colitis, Hillary?
I don't know.
I just think I don't know. I just call it a butt infection.
Butt infection. Well, hopefully Matt returns to us soon, and his case of of colitis clears up.
Is it like when you have to take your dogs to get their anal glands drained? Is it like that?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they drain them, do they?
No. You know what? I used to have to do that when I was trying to be a veterinarian. Here I go with another career.
Whoa. I've seen some things, you guys.
I have seen some things. It's what I used to do, man.
I can't handle that.
All right. Do you want to start over now?
Nope. Not starting over.
Let's do the rundown.
So on today's podcast, we're going to talk about PAX because it's coming up and we're going to be there and it's going to be fun. And
what is PAX, Scott, for people that don't know?
PAX is the Penny Arcade Expo, and the East denotes the location in which the convention takes place. Right. So this one will be on the East Coast.
So I'll ask a question that my parents asked me a couple weeks ago. So do they just have a bunch of old arcade machines that you guys sit around and play?
Whoa, that would be kind of cool as well.
They do have that.
They do have an arcade room, that is
yeah.
True.
Oh, yeah, the classic room. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, no, but for those that don't know what the Penny Arcade Expo is, it is a gaming convention that kind of revolves around independent gaming, and it was put together by the gentleman who created the Penny Arcade comic strip on the web, and it is a phenomenal experience, and we love going to it every year.
Cool. So we're also going to talk about the rumors and now announcement of the Assassin's Creed 4 game, which is totally punk rock inspired. And in our reviews and discussion, you guys check that trailer I posted. In our reviews and discussion, we're going to talk about a Mass Effect Reckoning multiplayer DLC that came out this week and is super cool, you guys. And we're going to do a little Dead Space 3 semi-spoiler talk. And then, I played a game called The Bridge, which is currently on Steam and is, totally, a mindfuck, which is cool. And, in our Nequato this week, which is also PAX inspired, with con season right around the corner, what are some of the essential items you can't leave home without? We got some
That's
good responses.
Great stuff.
Absolutely. Cool. So let's get into it. Ash, what have you been up to?
I was sick on the last episode, but now I'm almost back to full health.
I thought it was interesting that you contacted me afterwards and you're like, I don't remember anything that we did on that episode.
I really didn't. I thought 94 was gonna be like the worst thing ever because I had no memory of it. I was like, I don't
know.
I
knew that 93 was gonna be bad too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But wow, you got nothing there?
Really bad.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking about PlayStation. We were talking about the PlayStation 4, and I remember having like, it felt like a really long conversation about the PlayStation 4, but I don't remember anything that I said. So I was like, wow, 94 is going to be just terrible. But it turned out
Hillary saved episode 94.
Yes. Thank you, Hillary, for saving.
Aww.
Took one for the team.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't know where I was or what I was doing. But anyway, feeling much better, back at full health. I know that's
replenished.
How yeah, all my hearts are now full. No, I got to play some games this week. I've been playing a bit of the new Mass Effect multiplayer stuff, which we'll do talk about a lot during our reviews. Other than that, you know, work's been going relatively well this week, and no big complaints on that front. And I've just been getting stuff ready for PAX, and I've been doing a lot of like legwork for all the things that we'll be doing. And we have a couple other, you know, upcoming conventions and stuff we're actually doing before PAX too. So it's a lot of scrambling around. Oh, and I guess I can announce this. We will actually have t-shirts.
Hey,
appropriate
yay!
T-shirts.
Hey.
And they'll be super all printed fun. And ready to go. And they're going to be giveaway shirts. They're not for sale. So if you know us and you love us more than friends, then let us know. And maybe we can do some sort of arrangement. You can get one
of those. If you totes like us.
Yeah, if you like us, we can talk about the whole shirt thing. But either way, we'll be giving some away at PAX and, you know, just for fun. And what else? Oh, I do have a funny story to tell. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, and we're coming up on episode 100 pretty soon, so we've been doing this for a while. In the early episodes, the three of us, when it was just Matt, Scott and myself, we would talk about Alison Brie quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And she was a frequent topic on the show. It was almost kind of like a creepy, like, oh, we love Alison Brie. And so, you know, if you don't know who Alison Brie is, she is, of course, one of the stars of Community, and she's a comedic actress, and she's very funny, and we like her. Well, word got out that we have this, like, love of Alison Brie, and one of my friends last night sent me a text message and said, Alison Brie is currently in Orlando. And then he proceeded to tell me where she was going to be eating dinner and and what she was going to be doing after dinner, just in case I wanted to show up. And I'm like, I can't do that. One, I'm married. Two, that is the creepiest fucking thing ever. I can't just show up and be like, hey, what's up? Let's be friends.
Way to be super disciplined and not act on that.
I'm hanging.
I love how one of your reasons was because you're married. Like, I hate to break it to you, Ash, but
well,
I don't know. Like, if you met, I don't know if like something happened, right? No. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I have superpowers. It's just a goofy story. I wasn't expecting to like, you know, sail away into the sunset and be the next star of Community or anything.
We used to have on our website, we used to have a tag cloud, and I think the two largest tags were Mass Effect and Alison Brie.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened.
It was really impressive.
It was. So, Scott, what have you been doing?
Let's see. I, like you, have played some of the Mass Effect Reckoning multiplayer DLC, and I love it. I played The Bridge this week, which I'll talk about later in the reviews, and I finally got back to my Mass Effect 1 Insanity playthrough, which I started this morning.
Oof.
Yeah.
Is your plan to go through all three games on Insanity?
Yes. Well, I already did Mass 3 on Insanity, so I'm really just going to do like a play of everything, and then when I get to Mass 3, I'm going to do a playthrough of all of the new DLC.
Nice.
That's the plan. But man, it is crazy difficult on Mass 1 just because the game is so different, and you just have to exercise a lot of patience to get through it. But I still love it. I still love that game.
It's good. I mean, the play's changed a lot, but it's still a whole lot of fun. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Poor Nihilus.
Oh yeah, no. Poor Nihilus. I always liked the name Barla Vaughn, and I was kind of bummed that he never got more exposure in the game. I thought he was pretty cool. Barla Vaughn, the Shadow Broker.
The accountant guy?
Agent. Yeah, the Shadow Broker agent. I just thought that was a cool name. Yeah. Maybe I'll change my middle name to Barla Vaughn. Like
and Shiala, right?
Like Bon Iver.
Was it Shiala, the prostitute girl?
Oh, yeah. She was a consort. Prostitute. Yeah, she was a consort.
Whatever.
Your memory of this game is way too fresh.
Who, me?
Everybody. You remember all these side characters. It's crazy.
I kind of like BioWare.
I've probably played through Mass 1 like 5 times already. So I'm kind of like, I'm extremely familiar. I don't think I did anything else fun this week. That's kind of a bummer. Okay. Well, how about Mylin? It's been a while. Okay.
Yeah, it has.
It's been a while.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. So this past week, I did a ton of things, but I think most notably, I played Dungeons & Dragons for the first time ever last weekend.
That is so cool. I was so happy that
Tell
you
us about it.
Mentioned that to me.
Yeah, so it was really fun. Now, you have to know, I mean, I'm a writer and everything. I didn't know there was so much reading involved. Like, which is awesome, but it was just, there was all this research, and we had all these books, and there's all this stuff to learn. I mean, there's a huge learning curve going into it. But we spent most of our time kind of doing character creation. We had a good little group there, and like 3 of us hadn't ever played before, and the other 3 had some experience but hadn't played a long time. So I created my character. She's a 16-year-old druid minotaur with a firebird that rides around on my horns.
That is so cool.
And her name is Kit Smash.
I like it.
That is so cool. So, yeah. The character creation process in D&D is just so much fun. And
it was.
You know, I think the most fun character I ever played, I played a completely mute character.
I remember this.
And it was great. I played a mute character because I actually didn't like a lot of the people that we were playing with. So I'm like, I'm just not going to fucking talk. And so I made this mute character that was like sealed into this like iron mask type thing. And he had his great backstory. But he had a familiar, like a little imp that would walk around with him. And every time I talked, I only would talk through the imp. And the imp would only say like really shitty things.
That's awesome.
So I'd be like, it's the imp. And the imp would be like, hey, fuck you guys. Let's go steal stuff. You know, it was fun.
D&D is super fun as long as you got a great group of friends and you can, as long as you can basically add the numbers together off of four dice, I think you're good to go.
Absolutely.
So we're working on the adding part, but the friends are awesome. So it was really, really fun. And it's a good group. It's a lot of friends. Some friends we've known for a really long time, but then a couple of other people that I don't know as well. So it's a nice mix.
Did you paint your own figurine?
Not yet. You know how hard it is to find a female minotaur figurine?
I don't.
Might be almost impossible, actually.
It's hard. I'm working on it, so I have some ideas. But other than that, we are also getting ready for PAX, and I can tell you, this is new information, that Tin Man Games is going to be part of the Indie Mega Booth at PAX.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Yeah,
that's super cool.
Yeah, it's really cool because they have only a limited number of slots, and we managed to hook this up at PAX Prime. And, you know, they haven't announced the lineup yet or the number of companies that will be involved, but it's going to be really cool. So everybody who's involved in the booth has the opportunity to volunteer to help out. And so I'm actually writing and producing the trailer for the booth and my husband is editing it. So we've been working with a lot of video of all the games and people in the games and or people working on the games. And I think it's going to be a really, really great group this year.
Awesome.
Oh, that's really cool.
Awesome. That's really cool for you guys. And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it'll be fun. They actually, I think, have the biggest booth of the con because of the fact that they all got together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always liked the Indie Mega Booth. We spent a lot of time there last year, kind of just kind of wandering around and found some really cool diamonds in the rough, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can find some really great stuff that you wouldn't otherwise know about.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, Hillary, what about you?
Well, I'm going to start it off as I always started off. I worked a lot this week. Job number one was pretty good. I had to do a really massive presentation to the senior management team, which is always kind of nerve-wracking. So I think it went really well. So it was really good. Job number two, I got to work with some cool stuff for PAX, and that's at BioWare, which I'm super excited about. Hopefully we'll get to talk about it a little bit later.
Yep.
But yeah, it's really cool stuff. I'm just really honored and excited to work with a brand that I love so much. And some other news. So I wrote a book And you guys know this already, but I actually got a partial request this week from an agent. So
what is that?
So basically
I'm not in the biz. Tell me what that means.
Yeah, it's really, really tough. And it probably is contributing to my depression because every time I go through this process, it's like hell. I only sent out like 2 query letters just because I was like, well, you know, I wrote this book a while back and I might as well just give it a shot. So I sent out 2 and 1 came back asking for a partial. So what that is they want, you know, like the first 3 chapters generally. They wanted the first 5 chapters. So yeah, it's being reviewed now. I've been down this road before and it's really, really tough. So I'm not expecting anything miraculous to come out of it. But I just think it's pretty cool that I got a positive response, at least to my query letter.
Yeah,
and a query
awesome.
Letter is just simply like you talk about your book in like 3 paragraphs or less. And then you have like a bio section where you list your publishing credits and, you know, stuff like that. So it's just really stressful.
But, yeah. Congratulations.
Sounds stressful.
Yeah. But you know,
that's great.
Oh, thank you guys. Yeah. I'm, it's really tough
yeah.
because it's so close to you. You know what I mean? Like Mylin, you know, when you write stuff, it's like, it's super hard to see anything else but that. But anyway, so I'm really looking forward to blowing off some steam. And I think that that would be a good way to go into what we're talking about next. So, you know, it's awesome.
What's that?
News.
PAX East.
Heyo.
News.
News.
I think I got you guys covered there, but thank you for doing that.
Well, sometimes we have to do it in real time.
Okay.
Yeah. So PAX East is rapidly approaching, and we were talking a little bit about it in the introduction, but we did something at Prime last year with the help of our friend Bethany, and we threw together a little pre-PAX gathering that turned out to be one of the highlights of our show, just because we got to see everyone that we communicate with on Twitter and on the site and things like that, all in the same place at the same time. And we had some really fun guests show up that we weren't really expecting. And it just turned out to be a great, positive experience. You know, it's like you see all these people by their Twitter handles all year, and you never really expect to get to actually see them all in the same place and have actual living, breathing conversations with them. So it's kind of surreal. So we went ahead and we're doing our best to recreate the same thing that we did at Prime last year at East. So we are officially going to announce that we are having a pre-PAX party. And
yay.
Yeah, and while we obviously can't give away the exact location and all that stuff, we can say that if you are planning on attending PAX East this year, we have a limited number of spots, so to speak, available for listeners and friends. So if you are going to be in town at PAX East, it's going to be on Thursday evening, early Thursday evening till about, I think, about 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Just send me an email, ash@nerdappropriate.com, and put, of course, the subject of the email, pre-PAX party, and we will do our best to make sure that you know where to go. And, you know, there'll be a lot of fun people there. We're not going to announce any names of people yet, but it will be there, and that's the only reason why you need to go anyway. So what?
Yeah.
What?
That's one thing that we are pretty excited about. The other thing that's pretty cool is that 2 of the people in this chat right now are going to be on a panel. So Hillary and Mylin are having a panel.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Hooray!
Yes. So it's very exciting. I know that Hillary's talked about this a little bit before, but we got accepted with our panel submission. It's called Foreplay, Romance, and Games. And we have a really great group of people who are going to be on the panel, Hillary and I, and then also Melissa and Anna from Reset Transmission, and Lacey, who actually wrote book 2 in the Strange Loves series that we're working on right now. And then Sean Baptiste from Firehose Games is going to he's going to moderate, and he has actually promised to wear a smoking jacket.
Ha ha.
Nice.
So I don't know if he has procured the smoking jacket yet, but I'm hoping.
I have a red silk one if he wants it.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Who doesn't?
I don't know if I want to know why you have that, Ash.
It's not important.
No, why?
Not important.
I too have stories to tell.
But I think it's going to be really fun, and we're going to talk about a lot of the games that you know really well, and also some games that maybe you haven't played. And explore how romance is handled in games, where it might be, where there are more opportunities for romance. Like, for example, in Skyrim, you can get married in Skyrim, but it's the least romantic thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, being like a wall.
Yeah, you marry.
My husband, he was the blacksmith in Riften. He's actually quite tender.
We're not talking about headcanon. We're talking about what actually happens in the game, Hillary.
I don't know. All I know is when I got married to, I think it was the blacksmith's sister. I can't remember now, but she like disappeared. Got married. We didn't, like, first I had to go find something nice to put on because, like, I didn't have anything good and I wanted to wear something pretty to my wedding. And, you know, and then, like, we don't say anything to each other at all. And then we just do our vows and immediately she's gone. And I looked for her for 2 weeks until I could find her again.
So sad.
We don't even like get to hug. Nothing.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I was all excited because I heard that, like, once you, this was totally just like a rumor when the game came out, that once you get married, then, like, you can have kids and stuff. And that, I guess, isn't true. But I was like waiting. I was just like waiting. I'd like stare at my wife.
Yeah, you can. You can with one of the expansions.
Oh, with the expansions. Okay. So this is pre-expansion. But I would just go there and like stare at her in the house. She'd be like stirring the cauldron for like 4.5 hours. I'd just be like staring at her and like click on her every once in a while. I'd be like, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet?
You can't just stare and
it's
click
not like
on
Fable.
You can't just stare and click on her. You got to put a little Charlie Wilson on, light some candles. That kind of
thing.
Well,
that's the thing. In the expansion, you still don't have natural children. You adopt. So,
yes.
You know, so there's no real interaction. I mean, she asks me how I'm doing sometimes, but, and yeah. She gives me money and cooks me food. That's it. Which I guess, I don't know. Maybe some people's marriage is that.
Well, it kind of sounds like my house.
Oh.
So anyways, Please come see us. Our tentative time right now is Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. in the Corgi Theater. And I think it's going to be really, really fun. So we'd love to see you guys come out.
You guys are going to need to keep an eye on those Reset Transmission girls. ask them to tell you what happened at last year's PAX.
Oh, no.
And how they were feeling on Sunday.
Oh, no. Why you guys selling out like that?
Sorry, I'm just saying ask them to tell you the story.
Oh, okay.
A lot of fun at the last PAX.
They did. Actually, it was funny because I ran into them at the Tap House at PAX Prime, and they were
having fun.
They were having a really, really, really good time.
I remember there was some dancing earlier in the evening. That was fun. Yeah.
I remember one of them didn't remember who I was.
Oh.
After having hung out with them for many days. We'll leave it at that.
We love you guys.
Hey.
So something else that's happening at PAX East, the BioWare base was announced this week.
Sweet.
Which is fantastic. Finally able to talk about some of the cool things that are happening. My most favorite thing is that Raphael Sabarge, voice of Cade Nalenko, will be at the base Saturday and Sunday, which I'm so excited about. Mm. Seriously, guys, he's the nicest guy in the world. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that I had like a massive crush on the guy. He's so awesome.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I met him.
Yeah, he's amazing. And let's see what else. Casey Hudson will be in attendance. So that's something that's really, really cool. They're doing a main stage panel, like a retrospective on the Mass Effect
trilogy. The main
stage
panel, by the way, is fucking huge. Is a huge, huge panel. That's, of course, where, you know, the keynote is and where, like, X-Play used to do their panels. And, I mean, that holds thousands of people, right?
That'll be great.
Yeah, it holds about 3,000 people, so we really hope that everybody who loves Mass Effect comes, because it's going to be amazing. And Jeff Keighley's going to be moderating, which is pretty amazing. Let's see what else. We've got a lot of stuff happening inside of the base, which is in room 206, which is really close to the main stage theater. So basically we're going to have daily panels and there's a photo booth. We're going to have a costume contest. The room is going to be awesome in the way that it's designed. I can't wait to show it off. Yeah.
By the way, for our listeners, this is something that you've been working on for like months. So,
at BioWare, Chris Priestley, which we all know and love, he's now in charge of all things online and live events at BioWare. So he and I have been working really closely together on this project, and I think you're going to see the love shining through.
Yes.
The BioWare
good.
Base.
Good.
Can't wait.
Yes.
So it's definitely gonna be for our listeners, go up and say hi to Hillary and tell her that you think she is the bee's knees.
I would love that. Yes.
That's the password. That's how we know password. That you're the listeners. Yeah. If you say,
You have to say, you're the bee's knees.
Just like that.
Yeah. The strange accent.
Yes. So come visit me at the BioWare base. I'll be there every day. And then if I'm not at the BioWare base, I will be at the panel with my Lynn at the romance panel.
Yes.
Yes.
So one of my favorite bands in high school was a little band called Black Flag. And it was actually one of the first punk bands I listened to. In ninth grade, my friend Sean came up to me and he handed me a cassette. And he said, you need to hear this. And it was... an old Black Flag cassette that his brother had before he moved away and went to school. And from that moment forward, I was a fan of Black Flag. And I kind of became a little bit of a gutter punk kid for a little while.
Cool.
And now there's a Black Flag video game coming out starring Henry Rollins.
It's so punk rock.
I think I'm wrong. Am I wrong, Scott?
I don't know. I mean, I like to think that you're right, but something tells me that Assassin's Creed 4 is not going to be about Henry Rollins.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you got to play as Henry Rollins in a video game?
No, just, I can't imagine.
That would be unbelievable.
It would be amazing. It would all just be like, it would be a spoken word rhythm game where you have to hit B like every 35 seconds.
I've seen him do that live. It's amazing.
He's a really interesting gentleman.
Yes.
Super cool.
But how excited are you guys about the fact that it's pirates and ships?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
This is what we said on that very podcast.
I think you did.
So what we now know is that Ubisoft listens to the podcast and they said, you know what? Those Nerd Appropriate kids, they have the right idea about the future of Assassin's Creed, and let's make a pirate game.
Totally. It's all because of you guys.
Yeah.
Totes. It's like a joke that we...
Anyway, so it goes back to like, you know, before a couple generations before Hatham.
Does it really?
Yeah, and I think the assassin guy, I think I'm going to have another crush because he's hot.
Oh, boy.
Only seen one picture. He just looks like a scruffy pirate.
Yeah, but his face is beautiful.
Is he
scruffy pirates are hot.
Is he H-A-W-T?
He's hot.
Hot.
Okay, let's on the subject of hotness in the Assassin's Creed franchise, and I'm being very serious here. There has never been one female of any sort of merit or interest in that entire franchise. Hmm. So,
well, what about Liberation? Is it Liberation?
On the Vita.
Vita?
So I'm not buying a Vita, but I hear she's great in Vita, and she's like French and I believe African.
Well, I have a Vita. I will get it and play it.
I heard that game was well received.
Yeah, I heard it was well received as well. So let us.
And it's probably smart to have a Vita with the PS4 coming out.
That is true.
I bring this up because Assassin's Creed 4 apparently is going to be coming out on current and next gen systems, and I think for that matter, so is Watch Dogs is going to come out on current and next gen systems, and even Diablo 3 is coming out in current on next gen systems as well. So. How does that make you feel? Like, are you still excited for playing a game like Watch Dogs or Assassin's Creed 4 on the PS4 while it is also coming out on current gen systems? Like, I don't know how to process that. Like, do you want to buy a PS4 or do you just wait?
I mean, for me, I'm just going to go ahead and buy the PS4.
Okay.
I think obviously the reason that's done is the generations go through this weird transition phase, right? We saw this before as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in like the middle of development. They're like, well, like we need to figure out what we're going to put this on to actually maximize our sales. So we don't want to screw ourselves and only release this for like the PS3 when the PS4 is now on the shelves.
Sure.
They released two slightly different versions. One that's probably a little bit more graphically superior to the other.
Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine that these games are going to be mechanically any different from one another.
They're not mechanically any different. The one on the PS4 is going to look a lot better because it's going to have all the, you know, it's going to use that amazing 8 gigs of RAM and the octo-core, whatever the hell, processor and such. But it's still going to look nice on the PS3 and still going to look nice on the 360, but it'll just look a lot better on those other systems. So
that actually raises a good question. So because Microsoft is staying quiet, does that mean that this will be released on Xbox 360 and next gen for Microsoft?
Oh, probably. Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe.
Ubisoft even kind of screwed up the other day and put up a release window for this game. They basically announced the release date before they wanted to and took it down within like 30 seconds. But of course, the internet noticed, and it was like October 29th of this year is when the game is going to actually be released.
Yeah, they always drop in October.
Yes. And so I'm assuming that it says and coming soon for next gen at the bottom of that is what it said.
Right.
So I'm assuming both next gen consoles will probably launch before December, and then this title will be available for those come December.
So I have a question. Do you guys think that they're going to start selling them like in the combo packs like they do with DVD and Blu-ray?
That would be smart, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I personally wouldn't want it. I mean, here's the thing. If AC4 drops before I can get my hands on the 720, whatever it's called, and the PS4, I'll probably play it on this generation of stuff.
Okay.
Right? But yeah I'm not going to wait to pay. I'm not going to wait to play that game because I can't get hardware. You know what I mean?
You won't wait 6 weeks if it's a launch title?
No, I have to play AC as soon as it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I heard that she's a real big fan of Assassin's Creed 3.
She's a huge fan.
Or so I say.
Yeah, or so she says. I mean, that's what she says.
Yeah, something else. I mean, and also like, I mean, I've been waiting for Watch Dogs for a while. Like, I can't imagine myself like not wanting to play that. Like, I mean, right away.
So that's my point, is that I still want to play it, but I'm now like a slightly less excited to know that it's coming out on current gen systems, because I really want like a full blown like next gen only game to play. That's what's going to make me buy a next-gen system, you know?
Right.
I think the exclusive titles, you'll see probably another Gears game and another Halo game exclusive for the new 360 when it comes out, and that'll be the thing that really pushes sales.
Yeah. Good times. Okay. So that was sort of an announcement about AC4 and a conversation about current and next-gen games.
Black.
What's up?
And Black Flag.
And Black Flag, right? This is really more about Black Flag than it was about anything else.
Yeah.
So I think we were successful in that charge. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Mass Effect 3, Dead Space, and The Bridge.
Caca!
So, caca!
I don't know what that means. I like that. Okay, we are back, and we're going to be talking about Mass Effect Reckoning multiplayer DLC, a little bit about Dead Space 3, and Scott played a game called The Bridge, which looks like it would make my head explode. But let's go ahead and start off with the Mass Effect Reckoning multiplayer DLC, which is supposed to be the last piece of multiplayer DLC, which is kind of sad, but I kind of understand that they have to work on other stuff.
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah. They can't just keep working on the same game for forever.
Well, it's been like a year.
Yeah,
it has. Actually, Scott and I were talking about that when we were playing it. And it was right as the Reckoning DLC came out. And we were kind of like laughing, like, holy crap, we're still playing this game a year later. And we're still actually really enjoying it and still unlocking things and still discovering things.
You're playing the shit out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like we played for a good amount of time and we're still really, really enjoying it. But so what are your thoughts on it, Scott? Some of the new classes and guns and all that fun stuff.
I've only gotten two classes, and I don't think I've gotten any of the new guns. But the two classes that I unlocked, I really liked. And pretty much if you just download the DLC, they give you one of the new classes for free, just for downloading it and playing. So
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I unlocked the Alliance Infiltration Unit, which looks like ED. So she's crazy, dude. If you spec her the right way, you can basically final fight your way through the entire game. And I think that's great. I think that's a whole lot of fun, and I really love it.
yeah, I was watching you just kind of run around and you kept dying. And I'd be like, do you need my help? You're like, nope, I got it. And
yeah. Oh, my God. This is crazy. Can, dude.
Yeah. Self-res herself, right?
She's got like this thing called repair matrix or something. And it's a consumable. You can only carry like two or three at a time. But as long as you have it on, if you die, you automatically get back up again. Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And and you can spec her in such a way that makes her melee super fast. Like, she is a fast character as is. She's kind of like the Drell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, you don't have to fire your weapon. All you do is just, like, you can run up to a Geth Prime and just karate chop them down. And it's ridiculous, and it's so much fun. And pretty much if you die, it's, like, no big deal because you just pop back up again. And as long as you have those repair matrix handy, you're good to go. So that was the first thing I unlocked. And then... just by total luck and chance, I unlocked the Awakened Collector, which I think is the only ultra rare character in this pack of six characters. And, it's crazy. It's a fucking collector, and, it's got swarms of bugs that you can use to throw at people. And it's got, this thing called Dark Sphere, which I call like a slow fireball. And every time I fire it, I say Hadouken. And, It's crazy, dude. Like, it's a slow moving fireball that you can detonate, and it does like all kinds of like AOE damage and stuff. And it's all biotic explosions. It's totally crazy. I took the plunge a while back, and I bought the Mass Effect cell phone case when Razer had all those peripherals. So nice. I did have a DLC code for the Collector assault rifle, and the Awakened Collector gets bonus damage with Collector and Prothean weapons. So I'm assuming that there's probably other weapons, probably a Prothean weapon in this new pack. But I also had a Collector sniper rifle too, which I haven't tried. So he's just all damage, super squishy, biotic explosions. It was amazing. And then I think, Ash, you unlocked a couple of guys too, including that giant-ass Krogan, right?
Yeah, so I unlocked the... I think he's called the Krogan Warlord, correct me if I'm wrong, but he is just a massive hulking beast of a character. He has this giant hammer on his back that you can charge with you can charge it either with biotic energy or with electric energy. And then his heavy melee move is he smashes the hammer into the ground and does like a giant like AOE explosion. He is just literally just like a walking battle tank. It's really hard to actually shoot anything with a gun with him because he's so big on the screen. He almost takes up like half the screen. So he looks like he's an all new model from the other Krogan models. So he's not using the Krogan Vanguard model and he's not using the Soldier model. So it's a brand new model. It's bigger. It has more armor. It's ridiculously colossal. And
you can't run and can't take cover, right?
Well, you can run forward, but you can't roll and you can't take cover. so you basically just have to take all the bullets. He's got, you know, a massive amount of shields, and his health pool is huge. And he comes standard with really quick health regeneration. So you can regenerate your health to maximum at all times. Like, even while bullets are hitting you, your health's going back up.
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy. And he's a lot of fun. I mean... there's not a lot of real tact in playing him. It's just kind of like you run forward and smash things and hope that you live kind of deal. And I'm sure the guys that made the game would be like, you have it all wrong. You have to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But how I was playing it is I hit things a lot with a hammer and hope that they died. I also unlocked the new female Turian Vanguard. And she is
that
a lot
of poison strike and everything.
Yeah. So she's cool. She's a lot like, if anyone's ever read the X-Men or seen the X-Men movie, she's a lot like Nightcrawler. She teleports, all her moves are teleports. She has a wrist mounted poison dart gun, which is pretty cool, but she has poison attacks. And instead of having a standard Vanguard charge, she can actually teleport, from point A to point B, but everything in between actually gets inflicted with poison. So she can poison large groups of enemies. And then her heavy melee attack is actually a teleport strike. So she's a little squishy, but she is super, super mobile and a lot of fun to use. Very kind of
seems like a finesse character. Like, you gotta,
she is, yeah. She's definitely a great support character. You know, I died a lot playing as her, but as I started to figure out really the technique that you need to use, which is constant movement, then you live a lot longer with her. So it was really, really cool. I haven't unlocked any of the new guns yet either.
I think we should play.
We should play.
Hillary's on board. She's ready to play.
Yeah, totally. Let's play.
Got her stoked on it.
But it's a lot of fun. The new models look incredible. They kind of like, I think, went all out with this last batch of characters because they're all very, very different. They all introduced some brand new mechanics into the game.
Dude, they're all like walking death machines. They're incredible.
They're really ridiculous. Like, they're really ridiculous.
There's a Geth Juggernaut who is essentially a Geth Prime because he's got Siege Pulse, and the Siege Pulse destroys just about everything from what I can see. Mm-hmm. At one point in the game, I saw you like run up to a brute and one kill it with like with your hammer with the Krogan Warlord. Like, these characters are incredible. You know, like they're totally crazy.
You can pretty much one shot a brute if you have your Krogan Rage going.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's just super wild. And I think it's a great way to go out. If this really is the last piece of DLC, like, I think this is a great note to end on, just with all the stuff that's available now. It really adds. It's interesting because I would hope that this might preview things that happen in the future, because with some of these newer characters, they started replacing something like the heavy melee and using the heavy melee as an additional ability.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the Awakened Collector has it, you know, like the Volus can cloak with its melee ability. So stuff like that, I think, is they're really kind of exploring the possibilities of what you can do with these class-based multiplayer characters. And it's really exciting.
And it's cool. It doesn't actually overcomplicate the playing of that class. It all is very intuitive, and it makes sense within the mechanics of the game. So it's not like all of a sudden you're like, oh, now what the hell do I do with this button? It's not like that at all. It all makes sense after a couple rounds. You're like, oh, this guy can do this if you do this. Mm-hmm. So it's great. And I'm sad to see them stop working on it. But at the same time, if they move on to something, a new project, like, for instance, what if they're going to use the same multiplayer team for a Dragon Age 3 multiplayer? That would just blow my mind. Being able to play as, like, elves and dwarves in the Deep Roads, you know, going out in quests and adventures together. Mm-hmm. Why not? So that would be cool.
Yep. And Mass Effect kart racing would still be cool, too.
Yeah. We'll be all about that Mass Effect kart racing.
Got to get that in there. Sorry, guys.
I just love the fact that, you know, so many people were so anti-multiplayer. And then it's proven to be this amazing thing. Plus, it just proves that the Mass Effect universe is just so huge. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much potential. And I'm really excited about Mass Effect in general. It's my favorite. Love it.
It's pretty cool because I think that previous multiplayer offerings in other games, Dead Space 2, really kind of left like a sour taste in your mouth with like, why is this even here? You know?
Yeah.
And Mass Effect came along and I feel like it is executed in the right way. You know, like, yes, it does have microtransactions. No, you don't need to use them. Like, you can still play the game normally. Like, it all totally works.
Yeah, so, but let's get real. I mean, I've definitely spent over like $100.
Right.
I was like, ballers, ducks. Wait, what?
Right. I've spent money too, but like, even in this late stage of the game, I still feel like I can enjoy the game and I don't need to spend money to keep up with other people.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's just that you want to spend money because you're so excited about it. Like, I'm totally instant gratification. I'm like, I want it. No.
That's the right way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's the right way. And it makes sense. The whole thing makes sense. So I guess that's kind of my point with that.
And plus, if it keeps the DLC, the multiplayer DLC free, then why not microtransactions?
For sure.
So speaking of microtransactions, do you guys, did you guys use any in Dead Space 3?
No, actually I didn't.
I didn't care. I'm not all the way done. I'm almost done. But
I know we're not supposed to talk about the transitions, but that was beautiful, Hillary.
She does that. She's
just really nice.
The mistress of transitions.
She's a master transitioner.
Just don't prepare me. Like, obviously, like, I don't know. I'm better spontaneous than I am rehearsed.
Apparently. It was really nice. Anyway, please continue.
Thank you. So Dead Space 3. So I haven't gotten anything. I didn't buy any components or materials or anything, but I'm finding that I don't need it. And I love my scavenger bots. Oh my God. They're my favorite.
Mm-hmm. They're cool. They're very cool.
I did spend money on one thing, and it's what I like to think of as the coin doubler that they put in every game now.
Mm-hmm.
Not they buy Dead Space, but I'm saying like most games now have a coin doubler. So I bought the thing that basically doubles what the bot brings back to you. And by the end of the game, it like is totally irrelevant anyways, but
I bought the costumes, the extra rigs DLC is the only thing I bought.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, you can kind of tempts you because the costumes in Dead Space are so cool that you just want to see what those other rigs look like, you know?
Yeah, they're incredible. Yeah. And by the way, the N7 rig that you get is beautiful. They did such a great job modeling that.
Yeah, and even on the secondary character, the N7 suit is red, and that looks awesome too.
It does. It's very cool.
Yeah.
But I guess we should talk about Scott and I beat Dead Space 3. Hillary is almost done with Dead Space 3. And I guess we were just going to kind of talk about
You can totally spoil it. I mean, I'm so close to the end. I'm not going to play it.
Well, we will warn the listeners right now that this may be somewhat spoilery, but we'll do our best not to.
Yes.
I guess ruin the whole thing for you.
Yes.
And might I also say, Ash totally put me in the doghouse with my wife beating Dead Space that night because I remember I started out, I was like, Ash is on. I want to see if we play a little Dead Space. I was trying to do all the co-op missions like as I encountered them in the single player campaign. So I would stop periodically and just wait for someone to be available. So Ash was online. I was like, hey, man, let's go play that third co-op piece of the game. And he was like, sure. So we finish it. And he's like, hey, by the way, you're really close to the end of the game. I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah. So, you know, I'll hang out and why don't we just play for a little while? And I was like, sounds good. So I think we started around 8 or 9 and we ended up finishing. I think we finished at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2:30.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was falling asleep with a controller in my hand and I kept dying, like insta dying. And
yeah.
I would wake up and Scott would just like sighing. I'd be like, oh, sorry, man.
There was like parts of the co-op mission that were like extremely difficult for you. And like there were times where there was like a sequence where you had to fly through space. And that was like one of the instant death scenarios. And I think you kept dying like at that part of the game too.
I kept falling
asleep. Oh, wait, you have to use your jetpack?
Yeah, the jetpack thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like that part.
It's awesome. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So that was funny. But we did finish the game. And I really enjoyed the ending. Like most Dead Space games, like they always take a turn. Like all of a sudden you're not in the space station anymore and like shit is going crazy, which kind of goes all the way back to System Shock. But in classic Dead Space fashion, there's like a totally bizarre part of the end of the game and the end boss is really interesting and crazy looking. So
thank God it was easy though. I mean, this isn't a spoiler, but after playing Revengeance the week before I played Dead Space and having that boss like brutalize me for hours and hours on end, I was so elated to have a boss that I beat on the first try.
I am like all in favor of, like, I'm not a fan of bosses that are disproportionately difficult to the rest of the game.
Me either.
So how far am I? I'm like in the part where I just started chapter 18. Where
there's
like
19 chapters.
Yeah, you have 2 hours, like 2 hours at the most.
Yeah.
Left at the very most.
So
you should
close.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want to. I'll probably do it today.
I mean, overall impressions, Ash. Like, what did you think? I mean, you play a little co-op. You played a little solo.
Yeah. Everything. I really enjoyed this chapter a lot. I don't know if I loved the setting. I love when you're in space. I love like the first half of the game before you're on the planet. But once it gets to the planet and you start to fight humans and stuff like that, it loses a little bit of the terror of Dead Space.
Yes.
And I didn't really care for some of the, you know, some of the things that happened on the planet. But in terms of the plot and the story and how the game looked, I mean, the game looks fucking gorgeous. I mean, people don't talk about that enough, but like, there are scenes where you are floating in space and near the beginning of the game that you're just kind of looking around and you just kind of want to stop and take it all in, because I don't know if I've ever seen anything that looks that good on a console before.
Yeah. A next gen Dead Space 4 is going to get me really excited for next gen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even, I hope it sold well enough to actually warrant a Dead Space 4, but I think it did. I think it did pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, visually it looked great. Obviously, a lot of outlets have been talking about how the control scheme is starting to feel a little bit old and stale. And they did introduce, I don't know if rolling and stuff was introduced in this game, but you can roll now. It feels like there should have been a cover system because there are areas that almost have like the Gears of War.
It's like a weird pseudo cover system.
Yeah, it's just like you just kind of hunch over like a grandpa and like hope bullets don't hit you. But that's not really cutting it.
Yeah.
So if they want to go cover-based shooter, just fucking go cover-based shooter. things I really liked. I loved the gun creation, how you can get really creative with your weapons, and you can literally, like Ripley and Aliens, like duct tape a bunch of guns together and see what happens. And, you know, and you can tweak them out and build something really unique to yourself. You can build sniper rifles and flamethrowers and chainsaws and all sorts of stuff. So that's really fun. So I think my only qualms are really some minor gameplay issues. The story was fine. Enemies were still scary. Co-op was flawless, no lag, you know, kind of seamless pop, drop in, drop out. So yeah,
just frantic craziness in the co-op.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've played it completely single player, not 1 ounce of co-op. The thing that's kind of interesting is that now that you're heading toward the end of the game, there's this guy that keeps popping up, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to go a different direction. And he like runs away. And I know that's the character. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of funny that Dave was watching me play. He's like, what's with that guy always leaving you? I'm like, I don't know.
It's interesting. In the co-op, there's a bunch of additional dialogue between these characters, and they don't really like each other, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, no, because there's this one part where it's like right before you do like the whole jetpack scene. And then there's this like really poignant moment where you and him are talking and he's like, did I do enough? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is it worth it? Do you think, you know, we've gotten to this point? Like, does it actually matter? And it's like this really cool scene between like Isaac and this guy. And by the way, their animations are beautiful. It looks like so real. But yeah, I mean, that was like, I didn't really care much for that character until that point. And I'm like, wow, he's like questioning his own, you know, worth and life. And that's kind of cool. I mean, that's a new element. And there was something that happened, a couple chapters prior with one of the other characters that I was actually really sad about. So it did inspire some kind of emotion. It's not just like, you know, scary alien shooter there. I mean, the characters actually matter, which I love. So
yeah, very cool.
There's, I think when you eventually do a co-op play, you'll learn much more about that character, and I think you'll find that he's adds a lot of like depth to the story of the game.
Yes. His name's Carver, by the way, and he is cool.
I think really, it's one John thing, Carver,
while,
right?
Yeah. While we are talking about characters, one thing that was kind of bugging me for a while was the character of Ellie Langford, who's like the main romantic interest.
Yeah.
She's a cheater.
Yeah, and she's kind of like, you know, she kind of drags poor Isaac through the dirt. And she's like, check out my new boyfriend. He's in the army. Isaac, you're a loser. You don't have a job. I hate you. And he's like, I'll still go to the end of the universe and battle monsters to save you.
I was still sad, though.
Yeah. Well, hold on. We're not there yet. Okay. So she, in the second game, in a very brutal scene, loses her eye. Yep. Right? She gets it torn out. And it was like, when I saw her in this game, I was like, well, what happened? But it turns out there's a document you can find that talks about the surgery that she had to replace her eye using like new technology, you know?
Interesting.
And so she had an eye transplant. And if you look at her close, her eyes are both different colors. And I thought that was so subtle and so cool that they did that, because they didn't want to have her in an eye patch, because that's kind of like little cheese, little Battlestar Galactica kernel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So they just, you know, made one eye a different color and explained the surgery, I guess, in some documentation that you can find, which I think is super cool.
I don't know why you got to hate on the eye patch. I think eye patches are amazing. If I thought I could get away with wearing one every day, I totally would.
I am right there with you. I actually don't hate on eye patches, but I think having one in a space game would just be a little bit fun.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll give you
so say we all.
It just doesn't work in this game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a couple of final notes about Dead Space and sort of the transition from what it used to be to what it is now. I will say that I, in the previous games, did not enjoy the mechanic of having to backtrack over the same areas over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that in this one, you're always kind of moving forward and seeing new things in the game. So I think that I will take that along with the stuff that people didn't like as far as it, you know, supposedly not being as scary and all this stuff. So the only other thing that I missed, though, that I feel like was in the previous games is that all of the previous games, like including System Shock, seem to have like a recreational room or like a game that you could play on the ship. Do you remember this?
I don't.
Like, Dead Space 2, I think, had like a little game that you could play, like an asteroid destruction game or something.
Oh, really?
Or like a gun gallery. I think Dead Space 1 may have had like a shooting gallery or something like that, or a basketball game. And I kind of wish this game had something like that, because it just adds like a level of creepiness like in the middle of all this weird shit that's going on, you stop to play like Asteroids or something, you know? I miss that. I wish there was a mini game in this game just as some kind of freakishly weird diversion to have. And I guess the last thing I'll say is that keeping in mind how good this co-op is, I've heard and read that Visceral will now be rebooting the Army of Two franchise. So if this co-op is any indication of what that co-op is going to be like, it's going to be amazing. And there was really nothing wrong with that co-op to begin with. So it's going to be really great.
Cool. I have high hopes then.
Yes. So finally in the reviews, I want to talk about a game called The Bridge that I played this week. So,
isn't this what old ladies play when they gather together? Like, let's get together. Please,
that is Bridge. Bridge. This not... is The Bridge.
The Bridge.
Yes. Isn't there something called Bridge Mix too? It's yummy, like food.
I don't know, like trail mix.
It's like Bridge Mix.
Isn't a bridge when you have like a lot of your teeth missing and they're like, I need to go get a bridge.
Yes. And it's also something that like you drive over sometimes.
Oh.
Oh.
Or walk over.
So have we sufficiently discussed all of the bridges now?
Oh, no. Don't forget the brothers.
Yes. Right, Jeff.
Yep.
Oh.
And Bo.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Okay. Any other bridges?
My Lynn's so quick, she beat me to that joke. I was like, it was coming out of my mouth.
As soon as you said the bridges, I was like, yes.
The bridges were coming out of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
Why do you got to stress it on that word?
Yes, we heard it.
I'm uncomfortable.
So we surveyed 100 people, and the top 7 answers are on the board. Name a type of bridge. And then I walk over to somebody and I caress their hand and kiss them on the cheek. And I say, how are you doing? Good, good. Now, what is your answer? Darling, do you have an answer to this question?
Darling.
Right? Didn't that host he used to like really
the
be
the guy
like,
from Running Man, the creepo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now it's somebody else, right? Who I can't remember.
Isn't it? Oh, I was going to say Drew Carey.
It's not. The guy that looks like a cartoon, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey.
Yes.
Yeah. Drew Carey is Chinese teeth ever.
Yes. I'm sure that's a totally different mechanic with Steve Harvey on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
So there's a game.
What was I talking about?
About Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges, the game. Starman.
What are we doing? Okay, so The Bridge. Yes. Let's bring it back. The Bridge is a 2D puzzle game that you can get on Steam right now. Came out about a week ago. But all of the boards are inspired by M.C. Escher sketches and drawings and wood carvings, right? So it's difficult to explain if you haven't seen it, but imagine that feeling that your brain gets when you're trying to look at an M.C. Escher drawing and like your eye follows like the stairs and you're kind of getting lost in the drawing, in the art, you know?
Yeah.
Like that is kind of what this game is about. So now put an avatar in this world and try to move him through these levels. Oh, and by the way, one of the other mechanics is that you can rotate the game board like totally in a 360 degree fashion while you're trying to like figure out if you're going up the stairs or down the stairs or if you're like inside the Mobius strip or outside of it. It's like a total mind fuck. And like all you're really trying to do is navigate your character from where he starts to the door. And like somewhere in between, like all kinds of crazy shit happens, and it's just really difficult and challenging. And it's the game is like beautiful. It's kind of got like a hand drawn sketch style. It's all in black and white. your character kind of looks like M.C. Escher.
Do you know what studio made this by chance?
It's just two people. Like two
wow,
people.
That's incredible when that happens.
Yeah, there's a guy. The designer's name is Ty Taylor. I think he was doing this as a project for college, and he actually now works at Microsoft, so good on him.
Cool.
But he had this idea for this game. He found an artist. Artist's name is Mario Castaneda, provided all the art for the game, and it just kind of took off. So they've been doing the rounds at various indie conventions and indie game challenges. They were part of the PAX 10, I think, last year. And now the game has finally made it to Steam, and it's just crazy bonkers, man. Like, if you want to really, like, dude, I can't even explain. Like, at one point my brain was like fried and I was just kind of like rotating the level, and I started to like feel physically ill, and I was like, this game is really good. Like, that was how I knew.
That's incredible.
That was when I knew. So
any game that makes you want to vomit,
right?
It's a good game,
right? It's just ridiculous. It's so difficult to explain. You have to, like, I put a review on the website. Just go look at the images and watch the video, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But it's awesome. Tons of fun. It's called The Bridge. You can get it on Steam. Just two people, and it's a great game. So support indie developers, right?
Yes, please support indie for developers. Sure. That sounds Woo-hoo. Really cool. You know, that makes me think of one of my favorite quotes ever, which was an M.C. Escher quote. It was, I think it's in the basement. I'll go upstairs and check.
Yes. That's exactly what this game is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, totally cool. Very cool. I know that I finished this review, but I will also add that the game encourages exploration by having like a rewind mechanic, kind of like Braid, but it's not part of the game. You don't have to use it, but it puts you in a position where you're not afraid to try things, because you can just hit the rewind button and like back up a couple of steps and then try another solution. So good on them for encouraging fun gameplay.
I like that.
Cool. So coming up next, we've got our Nequado.
Hi, this is Ash. You're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Okay, we're back with the Nequado, which is the Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week. This time it's about PAX. With con season right around the corner, what are some of the essential items you can't leave home without?
Awesome. Man, there's a lot of good responses to this one, because I think all of us have probably gone to a convention and then been totally screwed at one point where we realize we forgot something that's like incredibly important, like our phone charger or our underpants or something like that.
Or condoms. No, I'm kidding.
Whoa. What kind of conventions are you going to?
I'm just kidding. Wow. I'm surprised nobody said it on here. Like, I'm just like,
I'm glad you did.
No, there's like a lot of nerd love going on at conventions.
Well, there was a very famous thing really famous that happened last year at PAX. There, I guess there was an ad on Craigslist for PAX weekend for an orgy, and it made all of the gaming sites were reporting on this PAX orgy. But it was heavily advertised with like, why not? Let's just have a big PAX orgy. And I don't know if it ever went down or not, but it was definitely on Craigslist.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. It's just an opportunity to meet up with some like-minded individuals, you know?
Yeah.
And let me say, please, everybody, do practice safe, you know, PAXing this time.
Safe PAXing.
Be careful. Be careful, because, you know, you don't want to bring that kind of anything home with you.
Yeah, it's true. Especially if, Scott just got an eye patch. What just happened? What did that happen?
There you go.
I looked away and came back and he had an eye patch.
That's I told you I wasn't going to give up on you guys.
Aww. Incredible.
All right. I got to laugh. I'm good.
So let's go ahead and just start answering some questions from our community about things that they don't like to leave behind when they go to large conventions. And then we'll throw our answers in there as well and see what happens next. Clockwork Angel at CA Angel 2012 says, emergency sewing kit, small glue gun, and pain relievers to help my feet get through the day in 5-inch heels. I would never go to a convention in shoes that were not comfortable. I feel bad for cosplayers that have really kind of elaborate shoes as part of their costume, because that's just agonizingly painful. Hillary, don't you wear like giant like super boots?
Wait, what?
Don't you wear super boots?
I thought you said stripper boots.
I did not say stripper.
I'm like, what?
We just hear what we want to hear sometimes.
No, the thing is, I wear boots every day. Like, that's like, it's no joke. Like, my closet is predominantly like, I don't know, knee high or thigh high boots. I mean, I love boots. They're the best.
You're always just ready to kick ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So yeah, no, I wear crazy shoes to cons. Normally though, I mean, they're pretty comfortable, but it doesn't even matter. Like, even if you wore sneakers all day, I still think that your feet would be tired. And it's so funny, by day three, usually feet swell like to three times their size. So it's kind of funny. it's actually, I don't know. Never mind.
So basically what you're saying is that you should bring an inversion table with you so you can just like let the blood drain back in the opposite direction.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, you should learn how to do surgery in your room. Good times.
What? You don't do surgery on an inversion table? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
An inversion table so you can like hang upside down, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking about like blood draining and that's never mind. What?
Internal blood draining.
Yes.
Got it.
Keep it inside.
Yeah.
Mylin, do you wear large boots to conventions?
You know, I'm a huge fan of the big stompy boots, but the problem that I have is that when I fly, I don't want to wear them because, you know, they always set off the metal detector and I don't want to carry them in my suitcase. So I usually, I try to go relatively practical with the shoes. I think it was last East, I had to go buy a new pair of shoes because my shoes were just not happening. And I got this really awesome pair of like red patent leather Danskos that I like to wear.
Cool.
Yeah, so they're kind of like old lady shoes, but they're awesome.
Also hard to do Dance Central 3 in boots, right?
Oh, no, no. I used to go to clubs all the time in my big stompy boots. But I will have to think about what kind of footwear I'll need for the Dance Central 3.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Special.
And our outfits. Don't forget, we're going to have coordinating outfits, right?
yes.
You already agreed to this.
I guess so. I did. looks like we'll be taking a trip to the mall somewhere.
Oh,
during
man.
Oh, yeah. And eye patches.
Yeah. I think I just broke mine trying to take it off, but at least I used it for the joke, so it's totally That's worth cute. It.
So Robert Freemring, Mr. Slick, haven't been to a real one yet, but I'd bring Vita and 3DS for near street pass, portable charging pack, Purell, and emergency.
He's yep. got some good ones on that list.
Definitely. Yep.
I think I picked up like 300 street passes at PAX Prime, which was awesome.
You were all about that. Everywhere we were going, you're like scanning. I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, street pass, man. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, good times.
All right. Foxy says,
come on.
says a camera to remember everything, a wallet to pay out of anything, and hand sanitizer that gives a false sense of security.
I love it.
That is like true. That sort of like gives, I guess, a good segue into mine. I got one of those portable chargers for my iPhone, and it's pretty amazing. It plugs directly into a wall, and it actually talks and says when its battery is full. And then
what?
You can carry it around, and it's about the size of an iPhone, but it charges your iPhone on the fly and gives it two more full battery lives.
What?
So yeah, it's pretty awesome. So you just kind of throw that in your backpack.
Can you send me a link to this, whatever you're talking about?
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Please.
Yeah,
yes.
And all you do is you plug your phone directly into it. It has its own little proprietary cable that kind of sticks out. And if your phone gets low, you just plug that in and it charges your phone kind of while you walk around.
That's awesome.
So that thing's cool. And also hand sanitizer for PAX is not a joke. Like, everyone should have it. You should use it frequently. Mm-hmm. And I guess my biggest bit of advice is just don't touch your face.
Yes.
Don't touch your face. Don't rub your eyes. Just like everyone.
And try not to
while.
Hug everybody. Well, that's my problem. I hug everybody. It's awful. And I always get so sick.
Oh, from hugging people?
I don't know. I mean,
not
I'm
to like, don't breathe them in so much, Mylin. Just kind of like do it like a
Yeah, because when I hug people, I go,
yeah, yeah.
And then she licks their face.
Ah, whoa.
That's really what makes me sick.
Yeah.
Well, actually, okay, so that leads into mine really well, because I'm all about the hand sanitizer too, but I think that I have these like alcohol lens wipes because I have glasses, and I also usually have an iPad, an iPhone, all of those things, because I'm doing demos the whole time. And I think they can work for both. So to use as hand sanitizer, because it's alcohol wipes, but also on all your lenses. But beyond that, I have another idea that I think might help me keep from getting sick. Do you think that like my doctor would prescribe me preemptive antibiotics?
I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, no, every PAX, as soon as I touch down back in D.C., I'm sick as a dog for a minimum 1 week.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we call that the PAX pox. It's a very fitness thing.
It knocks me flat.
You just got to start a regimen of like all that vitamin C stuff like the week before you go up there just to get ready, get your body ready.
Yeah, even then, though, it's like I'm not sleeping and I'm talking to like 1,000 people at a time. I mean, it's just, yes, I could bone up on the vitamin C, but I don't know if that would be enough. So anyway, I'm going to talk to my doctor.
You could wear a SARS mask the whole time and just be a creepo.
Oh, what if I got like a really like cute one?
SARS mask with a mouth drawn on the front of it.
That's not creepy.
Unless it's like a smiley face or something.
Yeah, that's...
No, like Hello Kitty.
Oh.
Oh, jeez. I think you'd be better off just boning up.
Yeah, for real.
On the vitamin C.
Wait, what?
My dog hated that comment, by the way.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to read this next one?
Chris Taylor at Shockwaver. Hey, Chris. Says, empty water bottles, cold sinus pills, painkillers, and a USB battery for all that line gaming. I agree. Actually, that leads well into my answer also, which is generally just to be prepared for the worst and just hope that that doesn't happen. So make sure you drink a lot of water. Make sure you bring like something for like headaches, right?
Yes.
And then like, I'm not going to lie, I think you should bring some Pepto too. Because that's like my fear of like traveling somewhere is that you eat something and you get food poisoning or you just feel sick or whatever.
Yes. I hate that.
And then you but you want to be out in public the whole time. So that doesn't work. Right. So,
or you're working.
Yeah. Not to get gross, but hey, why don't you bring a little Pepto just in case?
I'll never forget the Sunday at the BioWare base.
Wait, what?
When we encountered Hillary after her long weekend.
Everybody there looked a bit worn. That was a rough weekend. There was a lot of peer pressure happening that weekend with the staying out late and the drinking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And bring snacks too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
you have to.
That.
The point is that you have to eat. You know what I mean? Like I think I ran into Ash a couple of times, like in Prime, and I'm like, "Hey man, what's going on?" He's like, "I haven't eaten anything. I had pop chips. That's all I've eaten all day."
Oh, pop chips. Like Comic Con. Oh no.
Yeah.
But Melissa, I'll tell you what. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I'll tell you what, eating also has benefits too, because I actually met somebody, I won't name them, but I ran into somebody like getting food in line and made a connection. So make sure you eat.
It's where Absolutely. He met his wife and now they're married.
Aww.
The second time I met Melissa, it was at PAX East. I mean, I met her at PAX Prime, and then she came back by the booth later, and we were hanging out, and she had not eaten since 10 a.m. I think it was like 6 p.m.
Wow, and, so that's not healthy.
Yeah, and so I started filling her full of snacks. I was like, here, I have granola bars, I have this, I have that, and, you know, now we're best friends. And I think that had a lot to do with it, was because I fed her.
Do you know, can I tell you something? That Melissa came to Edmonton Expo when I was there for BioWare. And she even came to the booth but did not say hi to me. So I'm going to call her out on that because and I was like running someplace and I was going to be like, hey. And she totally looked at me and then looked away. And I'm like, fine then.
I'm not going to lie. You look extremely busy when you're at these conventions.
You do. Yeah. You're in work mode, Hillary. I don't know if you realize.
I hope people don't think I'm not friendly. No,
I was
friendly.
Afraid to say hi to you at PAX Prime because I thought you were so busy. Like that's how busy you look. So it looks like you're busting your ass. Which is probably good.
I am.
You are busting your ass.
Yeah.
I didn't care that you were busting your ass and harassed you perpetually.
Sure. I guess I know better now.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, Hillary, it's me again.
You're like those little kids in Assassin's Creed.
Here's the thing. I pride myself on being an extremely good multitasker. So you're not bothering me at all by talking to me. Okay. I love people. People are cool.
All right.
Good.
So Jesse Lamb at Axel 99 says, let's see. USB battery pack, MetroPass, sketchpad, iPod, munchies, pain, cold relief meds. Oh, and lots of hand sanitizer.
Yes.
I have to agree with that.
I think it's catching on.
Yes.
And by all means, you guys know this already, but hopefully you three know this, but clean yourself often. Take a shower. Like, I don't care, like, if you're a cosplayer or if you're just like, you're there by yourself, but go home after the day is done and take a nice warm shower and use soap and then come back the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't be a stereotype.
Or yeah, shower that morning.
Yeah, baths are great too. Your achy feet, you know, in the nice warm water. Good times.
You know, and just so you know, BO is not additive. It's kind of like multiplicative. You know what I'm saying? So
layers to it.
Yeah, it's exponential. It grows by orders of magnitude. So just make sure you shower in the morning and everybody will be much, much better for it.
And deodorant works too.
And toothbrushing is really important too.
Maybe we're preaching to the choir. The hygiene, but
you know, it's kind of weird. I'm going to tell you a little secret about myself. I much rather smell a stranger's fart than a stranger's bad breath.
See, I think that says a lot.
Well, yeah, because I mean, farts happen, but
everybody farts.
Bad breath is preventable.
Yeah. Everybody farts, man. Not everybody needs to have bad breath.
You know,
yeah, but honestly,
about.
If you got a fart, like, you should try to make sure you're not like farting where someone else can smell it.
Yeah, I mean, if possible, you know, squirt it all over the place.
Oh my god. What is happening to this podcast?
That was not my fault, by the way, you guys. What did you know?
Oh my gosh.
Usually I derail it, and I did not this time. I just want everyone to notice.
We have broken the internet, you guys. We've broken it.
I'm back.
We're always
you broke my internet.
With farts.
Okay, so Justin at Jushin says disinfectant wipes and a fully loaded iPad for long lines up. Yeah, if you think that every person running a booth has disinfectant wipes, you're probably mistaken. So make sure that you are in charge of your own personal hygiene.
Yeah, for real. I agree.
I just assume that Hillary always reads Jenny the Pirates.
Oh, fine. Jennifer R. Jenny the Pirate. Arg. USB charger. Orca card for the buses in Seattle if you're a PAX Prime. Or I think Emerald City Comic Con is going on right now, too,
it
right?
It is right now.
And Greek Girl Con. Woohoo. Healthy snacks and comfortable shoes. Mm-hmm. Very sensible.
Very sensible indeed. Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says water, snacks, phone charger, aspirin, and a tablet. I'm assuming he means like a portable tablet, not just like a tablet.
You got to have something to do in line. And you also have to, like, you know, even if you don't plan accordingly, you'll make it through the first day fine. But really what you're trying to do is make it through the last day fine. And that's the goal here.
That is the goal indeed.
I'm saying like
that
after
a tattoo. I think that's really wise.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's true. Like, you'll show up and be like, I feel great. It's Friday. Everything's awesome. And then by the time you get to Sunday, you're like, not doing so hot.
And it's a marathon, not a sprint.
That is correct. That's my drinking philosophy, too.
Eileen, why don't you read the next one?
Oh, sure. Okay. Denise Kwan at Denise Kwan says phone charger, makeup remover wipes, floss, and super glue. Absolutely. Floss. Oh, also the little wisps. I like to use
little
wisps.
Toothbrushies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great because, you know, it's like in line with the floss because inevitably, especially when you're working a booth, you can't go anywhere. You're just there for 9 hours every day. And, you know, you eat in 5 seconds, like you try to crunch down behind the table so nobody sees you like shoving food in your mouth. And then like you have to talk to people close up right after that.
Yeah.
And the con food is like, it's not good breath food.
No.
It's not.
Here's a pro tip for the dudes who probably don't have compacts, you know, in their back pocket. You can actually use your iPhone as a mirror. Just so
How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, if you just put it in camera mode and put it,
yeah,
you know,
and flip it around.
Oh, oh, it's like, how do I have a mirror? Oh, camera mode, right?
Right.
I've never heard of me to use it that way. That's cool.
Yeah, you can pick those little nuggets out of your teeth that you were saving for later before you go.
I do it to check and see if I have bugs at work.
Bugs.
No. All right, so Melissa K at the Quad Skater said, hand sand, comfy shoes, gum, iPhone, and a good attitude. Agreed. And Melissa K, you better say hi to me this time.
We're on a panel together.
You better say
why
hi to
me. Why are you trying to start
time?
Stuff? I feel like this is like a wrestling storyline.
Because here's the thing. On Twitter this week, when I announced that I had a spider in my hair, she kept sending me like crazy articles about spiders and people's ears.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. I saw that. That was uncool. So I'm gonna say right now, you all are not allowed to fight until after the panel.
What?
After the panel, you can do whatever
you
want.
Can they fight on the panel? Like fight?
We only have an hour, you guys. There's not enough time to like talk about all of romance and games, then also fight.
Combat. Fight.
Yeah.
I don't know where you think this fighting is going to come in when Canadians are involved. I can't even imagine there being any fighting that could take place.
That's true.
So friendly.
Canada's a pretty friendly place.
She gave me maple syrup. She's so sweet.
She gave me maple syrup, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys are lulled into a false sense of security here.
Mm.
They want you to trust them. That doesn't mean they won't cut you.
True.
Oh, those Canadians are shifty, aren't they?
That's true.
Speaking of shifting, we need to shift over back to our questions because there is an incredible answer here that should make everyone here pretty excited. Mm. Scott, why don't you read it?
Jacques at
you
Cap Jack
1996. Like a perv.
What's that?
You could be the one that sounds like a perv.
Okay. Jacques at Cat Jack 1997 says, Sharpie, so I can get the Nerd Appropriate crew to sign a body part of their choice. Full body condom, because the viruses and bacteria are resistant to all that hand sanitizer everyone else is using. Do I get to sign a body part, my own body part of my choice, or one of your own body parts of my choice?
We don't know. We'll have to find out a little bit more about this answer.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I really hope that like we're at a convention and like a 7 foot tall burly gentleman's like, please sign me. And I'll be like, are you Cat Jack? So who knows? Yeah.
Oh, that's a winning answer right there.
It is definitely.
Mm-hmm. Tara at NABiki. Is that it? Motrin and Dr. Scholl's insoles for cosplays. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Cool.
Oh, geez. Gosh,
take us home,
guys.
Ash.
It's been such a fun episode and so strange. And it's been an interesting psychological experiment here. No,
sometimes when we record, I generally have an idea of how the episode's going to turn out afterwards.
Yeah.
And this time, no clue.
This one is but a mystery. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a good one. As always, guys, thank you for joining us on episode 95 of the Rated NA podcast. I know when episode 100 hits, we're just going to have to go fucking crazy.
That's when we blow up and turn into D-bags, right?
No, I think it's like more like a Pokemon transformation.
Oh, okay.
Like we evolve into our new forms of like being incredibly professional and articulate.
Wait. I've almost done this with you guys like 50 times now, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not sick of it yet?
No.
Good.
That's awesome.
Either. Yay.
Yay.
All right. So shout outs this week. First one is to Stumpy Nat, who is a frequent author on our site and a listener and a good friend. And so thanks, Stumpy Nat, for all your articles and for hanging out for so long. And
indeed,
for all the cool stuff that you do. And we also want to give a shout out to Reset Transmission for being awesome. And for
except for Melissa.
Oh, my gosh. God. Oh, you can't do that.
I don't understand what you're doing.
No, it's fine. Melissa, I'm cool with you if you're cool with me.
Oh no.
You're starting shit for no reason.
You know what? When a woman says, no, it's fine, and I'm cool with you if you're cool with me. Yeah. I'm nervous, you guys. Okay.
Don't be nervous. It's okay.
I'll stop. I'll put a stop to this.
This will be great because you know that during this panel, Ash and myself and Matt and Nate are just going to be sitting in the front row, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to have the greatest time at this panel.
We're going to just...
If you guys wreck my panel, There will be reckoning.
We would never.
Oh. The recocking will happen.
I'm not going to wreck your panel. No. I promise.
Is that a perverted joke?
What? I don't know.
No.
Should it be? I don't. Maybe.
Hey girl, I will wreck your panel. So anyway, that was a shout out.
Said, now I need a shower. Sound
hand sanitizer.
It sounded like I was starting shit, but I was definitely giving a shout out to Reset Transmission Podcast. As always, you guys can find us on the old internet. We are on Facebook/NerdAppropriate. You can find us on Twitter, which is probably the best place to actually contact us, and that's @NerdAppropriate. We do our best to reply to each and every @, so say something to us, and we will form a dialogue with you.
Yes.
We are on Google+. We're on Goodreads. You can email us individually if you have any strange pictures, if you want to send Hillary dirty pictures. You can send them to AshMattHillary1L or Scott@NerdAppropriate.com, and we will read them. Also, big thanks to Jimmy Hinson, Big Giant Circles, for our theme song. And that's about it for episode 95. Thank you guys so much. And thanks to Mylin for hanging out and tolerating us. I don't know if she'll ever want to come back again.
Oh.
The offer remains open.
You're going to have to beg the next time.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Good. I'm glad you had a good time.
I ain't too proud to beg.
Either in the morning or the middle of the night.
Ain't too proud to beg, y'all.
And cut.
Wow.
Anyway,
sponsored by Axe Body Spray, too?
Probably.
Nice. Also crazy.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
That's why everybody's so well-groomed on the website.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Huh.
They're all just sprayed with Axe.
Yeah. That was the joke. All right. I'm going to stop talking for the rest of this episode.
What? No, don't give a bonus yet. It was just, I didn't know what to say.
Sorry, I got really distracted because my dog is snoring.
Yeah, thanks. I don't need your pity, you guys. I'm fine.
No, seriously.